Hello, this is Bob Vizanko, and you're listening to the Progressive Forum on KPFT. Sorry for that little glitch at the beginning of the history segment. We are incredibly fortunate to have with us tonight Amy Goodman, and I know that Amy needs no introduction, so welcome to the show, Amy.
It's great to be with you.
I can't tell you how elated we are to have you back on. This is Radio Free Houston now. In August, your voice suddenly disappeared from the airwaves. You were forced into a fire station, and we didn't hear much about you, so it must be wonderful to be back on and to have the situation returning to something near normal.
Well, it's tremendous victory for the pro-media democracy movement in this country. In fact, we never went away. We were just taken off of KPFT. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the old management decided to go along with the dictates of the old Pacifica management, all of whom been basically forced out. But we broadcast every day. In fact, we expanded the program to 2 hours a day after September 11th and broadcast the War and Peace Report from this firehouse. We were forced out of our station, WBAI. But Pacifica's first station, KPFA, the one that was founded by Lou Hill, the mm-hmm. pacifist who refused to fight in World War II, and said there had to be a media outlet not run by corporations that beat a drum for war. This was after he got out of the detention camp. He said there had to be a media outlet that was run by journalists and artists. And that was the original Pacifica station, KPFA, and that began the network that grew to five, including KPFT, which went on the air in 1970. And it was KPFA, after we were forced off of the air and banned from the Pacific airwaves, that said, we're not going to go along with this, and we're going to make sure that this national forum for voices of dissent around the world continues. And so they used the Pacifica satellite, the back door of the satellite, and they broadcast us every day. We would link to them. They would come in, because it's California, at 5:30 in the morning. They would link up our program, and community radio stations around the country continued to broadcast us, and we didn't miss a day. That was an absolutely remarkable collaboration that when there is a need and the information is so important, and I should say unfortunately so unique, because what we do should be done by every major media outlet in this country. It is just opening the phones and the airwaves to the voices of what I think are the majority that has been locked out of the corporate media. But it is unique, because if the airwaves were open to those voices, there would be a very different message that got out. And I do believe it would be a message of peace. And so we hear people from around the world talking about what war really is, the ravages of it, the terrorism that war is, because war is the killing of innocent civilians, and that's what we are, I was going to say, seeing in Afghanistan, though we're not seeing it. Those pictures, those images of civilian casualties are very much absent from the mainstream media in this country, though they are being broadcast all over the world by networks like Al Jazeera. A friend was saying to me, who is in Asia, that he saw much more of the devastation in Afghanistan than we ever see in the United States. And also just giving historical context, like today we brought people, Philip Jones Griffiths, who is the Vietnam War era photographer, who at that time too had amazing images on the ground in Vietnam, and yet very few got out then. Now he has this remarkable book that's just come out called Vietnam Inc., actually republished after 30 years. And you get to see the images that were blocked out even then. But anyway, we continue to broadcast through this really trying period of 5 months, broadcasting all the community radio stations that we had before, and then expanded to public access TV stations. Because people in public access TV have fought the same battle that those in community radio have to preserve public spaces. In that case, it is little preserves that the cable industry is forced to hand over to the public. And so Democracy Now! Is broadcasting on those stations as well as Free Speech TV, which is channel 9415 of Dish Network. Mm-hmm. That's direct satellite TV, channel 9415. So we're on DirecTV, on public access TV stations, on community radio stations, on shortwave, on the internet at democracynow.org and wbix.org. So we, in fact, expanded. Unfortunately, four of the five Pacifica stations banned us from the airwaves. Now, in this time of serious crackdown on dissent, it doesn't surprise me that people and or Pacifica listeners should have gone through this struggle, because the stakes are very, very high. You look at our five precious radio stations, BAI, where I was based alone, the station itself is, they could sell it for something like $250 million. But it's much more valuable than that. In fact, it is invaluable, and it is invaluable to remain part of the Pacifica family. And unfortunately, the board of directors of Pacifica started to change a couple of years ago, and starting in 1999, they voted to disconnect themselves from the local communities of five stations, and they could just choose each other, and they could choose their friends. They started to try to change the bylaws so that they could sell stations and personally profit from the sales. I mean, it was stuff that was anathema to what the overwhelming majority of Pacifica listeners had fought for more than 50 years. And people started to fight back and to struggle and to say, no, we're going to take back this radio network. And so in the midst of all this, as the, you know, corporate interests were bearing down hard. I mean, it's not a surprise that we should face this pressure. What is absolutely amazing is that the pro-media democracy movement won, that people persisted. I remember coming to Houston at the board meeting a while ago, and there were hundreds of people in that room, and we weren't even able to broadcast very much that we were going to be there because of the crackdown at KPFT, like there was one at KPFK in Los Angeles and WB at PFW in Washington, where you could almost not get word out at all that these kind of gatherings were taking place and there was going to be a board meeting. I mean, this was supposed to be something very public. That's the way it was supposed to work, but it started to get more and more tight, more and more difficult to get the information out. But there were a number of lawsuits from listeners and from local advisory board members and even from the national board members, dissident members, suing the majority of the board. They came together with this incredible listener movement around the country, and it culminated in a legal settlement that said that the board would have to resign. A new board would be appointed for 14 months, an interim board, and that is what is in place now. And one of the first moves of this interim board was to restore Democracy Now! To the airwaves of the Pacifica stations. I'm very sorry that KPFT management decided that the voices that Democracy Now! Brings to the airwaves should be silenced for this many months. I'm sorry that KPFT has gone in the direction it has, I think very much defying the community, the activist community in the greater Houston area. I think that music is a very important part of the mix of cultural and political programming. But when things start getting played by playlists, determined by record companies, this again is something that Pacifica was not founded for. There are plenty of radio stations that do that, and Pacifica stations are supposed to be a preserve for the original, for the creative, for the those that have struggled to break through the corporate constraints on culture and politics and get the word out of people on the ground who've been struggling for so long. It's why people like Paul Robeson knew that when he was banned all over this country, There were very few places he could be heard, either his incredible singing or just speaking, just talking about his ideas. But he knew he could come to Pacifica. In that case, it was to KPFA, the original Pacifica station. People like James Baldwin debating Malcolm X around the effectiveness of sit-ins did this on WBAI. Well, we got away from this mission, unfortunately, as one after another of us were thrown off. It was not just Democracy Now! Thrown off four of the five stations. At my home station, WBAI, management moved in and changed the locks, threw out the old activist management that very much in the form of the old Pacifica, and appointed their own general manager, who proceeded to ban, fire, preempt, and otherwise exile one producer after another, until there were scores of producers, and there were thousands of listeners who were saying, no, you cannot silence the entire community. You can't fire the listeners. And for a year, we struggled. For a year, we said that this community radio station, while it may have been taken from us for a little while, is going to be returned, and it's going to be stronger for it. And the solidarity among the producers and the listeners was amazing. The persistence in the face of a really brutal crackdown where people were not only taken off the air, but they were banished from the station. One person got a letter that said she was not to be in the vicinity of any meeting that had to do with WBAI, let alone inside the station. That was outside in the community. But that can't continue, those kind of undemocratic edicts. They might hold for a day or for a week, maybe even for a month. But people are going to bristle, and people are going to fight back, and that's exactly what they did. And after a year, with the new interim board coming in, and that board coming to New York for its first meeting, and not taking place in a fancy hotel like happened in Houston or in Pentagon City at another fancy hotel that kept happening over the last 2 years right outside Washington. But the new interim board, led by Leslie Kagan, a well-known anti-war activist of the last 30 years, very active against Vietnam and led the coalition here against the bombing of Afghanistan. She became the chair of the board, and the board met in a union hall, believe it or not, after all of these years, where the amount of money that the old management spent on lawyers, on PR firms, we're talking about more than $500,000 for one of the fanciest PR firms in this country, PR firms. As Juan Gonzalez, my co-host, who has now returned, and it really is absolutely amazing to join with him on the program again after he quit last January, to say he was going to lead a movement that would overthrow the corporate forces on the board. He returned and has continued to be really just a major force in media democracy, and we'll move on to other struggles that involved the democratization of the media. But Leslie became chair of the board. The board and hundreds of people, I mean, we'd never had such a large meeting, met in a union hall, the Hotel Trades Council in Midtown Manhattan, and it was last Saturday night at about 6:30. The time came for the vote on the banned and the fired at WBAI. They needed a two-thirds majority to vote to lift the bannings and end the firings, rescind them, and going back to the pre-coup structure at WBAI. That's pre the Christmas coup of 2000, when the management moved in and changed the locks in the middle of the night. And at 6:30, two Saturday nights ago, the board voted, and one by one, with the new board members in Texas and Houston, there, George Barnstone and Teresa Allen, as well as many other people around the country, Teresa Allen, who was arrested as a local advisory board member, simply trying to do her job, they voted to return the banned and the fired. It was an absolutely beautiful moment. A roar went up in that union hall that could be heard, I believe, through all of Times Square. And we knew that we were on the way back and that Pacifica could return to its original mission, now with a larger, more dedicated audience. And I think that this movement, this victory, is going to inspire movements all over this country in this really difficult time when people aren't seeing a lot of victories. It is really important to have something like this. And the corporate campaign that was waged over this year where, you know, an analysis was done of who was on the board and what their connections were to different groups and really sort of systematically applying pressure, working from the grassroots, I think will become a model of what an effective campaign can be. Inclusive, democratic, and ultimately, strategically, extremely successful. A new board is in place. There will be elections at each local advisory board in the five areas. And I think that what we're going to see is exactly what the Ku Klux Klan was afraid of in 1970 when they bombed the transmitters of KPFT twice, right? As I understand it, the exalted Cyclops, when he went on trial, said it was his proudest act to bomb the transmitter of KPFT, to blow it up in the first year of your station being on the air. And I think that he understood how dangerous Pacifica was and now will be again. Dangerous in that it is there as a voice for those who are not usually heard, but if we are to have a democratic society, absolutely essential for all different voices to join in a national conversation. And that's what Pacifica is being restored to right now. It is thrilling to be back on the air. It was a difficult struggle. We owe it to the listeners.